word, and we also look into a creation moment. I pray that you would make it special, make it challenging to us, and Lord, that you would just make your will known. Lord, that I would be out of the way and you would step in front, and that your word would be the priority. We thank you again for what you've done and what you will do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our creation moment this morning. It's on the brain. One of the most studied but least understood organs in the human body is the brain. The human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. There are many different theories about how the brain works, but one universally recognized fact is that the brain is more sensitive to damage than any other organ. Scientists studying the brain have learned that when the brain is injured, it triggers the release of some very special chemicals called neurotrophic factors. I hope I did that right. While researchers aren't sure how these chemicals actually work, studies show that the chemicals seem to help the brain repair damage to itself. They believe that each of the different chemicals work to repair a specific structure in the brain. Surely the advanced knowledge of biochemistry necessary to create a way for the brain to repair itself does not come from matter itself, only a powerful and wise creator. The creator described in the Bible could have made this system. But we speak here of more than his wisdom. The gift of the brain's ability to repair damage to itself also shows that he looks upon us with love, the highest expression of his love to be found in Jesus Christ. You know, we don't often think about our brain. In fact, there was a story about that. You may have heard about it, where students were in a class and the teacher was talking about things, and one of the children mentioned about how they believed in God. And so the teacher, being an atheist, said, well, how do you know that there's a God? And, well, I just know. And they said, well, can you touch him? No. Can you see him? No. Can you, see anything about him? How would you know that there's a God? You can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't smell him, you know nothing. And the kid says, well, I know, but can you see your brain? Can you touch your brain? Do you smell your brain? No. Do you have a brain? How do you know? So that's something that we all can relate to, because the brain is something we don't know we have, but it is an amazing functioning organ in the body. It helps us to see things. You know, something amazing that I learned just aside of all this was that our eyeballs, actually the lenses in our eyeballs actually see things upside down. Did you know that? Our brain flips it back right side up. So if you just take the lenses by themselves, the images are upside down. But our brain flips it right side up. Figure that one out. All right. Today, we're going to, look at some things that I have struggled with. I think all of us struggle with it. And we struggle with the world, the condition of the world. Don't you struggle with the condition of the world? You know, the corruption in politics, lawyers, judges, all the stuff that goes on, businesses, things like that that are going on in the world, and they're just corrupt. And I've preached before and taught before that we Christians have dropped the ball. More of us should be in politics. More of us should be in law. More of us should be leaders in business. More of us leaders in the community. But I come to realize, as I've read through the scriptures and listened to some things on the radio and stuff, I've come to realize that we will not change the world. We want to, but we won't. And it is a problem with how we feel as Christians. We want to change the world. We want it to be better. But we've got to understand that the world would not get better. Now, it doesn't mean that we should just throw everything to the wayside, that we should quit voting, that we should just, you know, forget everything and not be involved in politics or not be involved in the things that go on in this world. We should be involved in those things, but know this. The world is destined for destruction. It is not going to get better. And we're going to go through what our emphasis should be on. But I want us to go to 2 Peter because I want us to understand this full well. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1855 in your Pew Bible. 1855 in the Pew Bible, chapter 3 in 2 Peter. Remember, it's 2 Peter, 1855 in the Pew Bibles. And we're starting in verse 8 of chapter 3. It says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friend. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." So see, the world, the earth, the universe, everything in it is going to be destroyed and burned up. The question is, why is this going to happen? Well, the first reason here, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. One of the main reasons, actually, is chapter 8, verse 19, 17, 18 in your Pew Bibles, Romans chapter 8 and verse 19 and on. Well, yeah, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to what? Decay, and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves," you know, et cetera, because we're waiting for the adoption of sons. Now, the thing is that this world destined to be destroyed, it's been groaning and suffering under the bondage of sin. Because in the original Garden of Eden, where, you know, Adam and Eve were, they disobeyed God. Sin entered the world, and so the world began its descent into destruction. Because sin also entered the world and all creation. And so it's been corrupted by this. And so it's all decaying. It's all going downhill. You've heard the saying before, as soon as you're born, you begin to die. And that's so true, because as soon as you are a living being, you begin to age. And none of us understand that more than our older community. We begin to see our friends pass away. It's happening, and the world is going that direction. Prophecy tells us that, and everything it points to that. Jesus talked about it too. There'll be wars and rumors of war. These are the beginnings, etc. We can't stop that. No matter what we do, no matter how involved we get, we are not going to stop the world from its descent into decay and destruction. But there's one thing we can do, and before I go on to that, I want us to look at one other thing. In John chapter 12, 1638, in your Pew Bible, John chapter 12, it gives us just a little bit of an idea of whose world this is at the present time. Now, of course, God is holding things back from what they could be, but in chapter 12, verse 31, in John, it tells us that, let's see, 12, 31, And it says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. In other words, Satan. Now, Satan has been the prince of this world. He's running the show at this present time. He's the one that is whispering in the ears of politicians and businesses and individuals who will allow that voice to infiltrate themselves. And so the world is being controlled in a way that we don't like. You know, we as Christians, we look at this, we just shake our heads and go, what? Why would anybody do this thing? Why would we get into trillions of dollars of debt? Why would our, you know, government continue to make decisions that drive people down and don't lift them up? It just doesn't make sense. But this is the reason. I want you to also go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is just a few pages over, and starting in verse 18. If you don't understand the world's situation, here gives a very clear indication. Verse 18 says, if the world hates you, isn't that a dull moment there? I mean, the world, doesn't it hate us as Christians, as believers in Christ, as disciples of Him? If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. This is Jesus talking, of course. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. They persecuted me, they will persecute you also. You see, there is no reconciliation between the world and us as Christians. We're going to be in a battle between the world and us. This is not going, it's not going to all of a sudden, if we get involved in all the things that we would like to get involved with to help the world get better, it's not. You've seen it over and over again. Isn't it true that when a Christian gets involved in politics, that they push on them and push on them until that individual finally is pushed out of office? Or they become discredited in some way or another. Though, isn't it true, when a Christian begins to try and get into politics, they ridicule them for their faith? Isn't it true that Christians have been ridiculed for our faith? Because we stand against the things that have been wrong, that have been going wrong. Judges, when they make judgments that favor criminals, we stand up and we go, what is wrong with you? And they say, oh, stop with your fundamentalism. You know, we want the Ten Commandments in the courthouses, and because that's the law. You know, that's what we should all be following in moral principle. And they want to kick them out of the government and kick them out of the courthouses. And we're going, what's wrong with you people? Because the world hates us. The world hates God. The world hates what He represents. They want to do their own thing. And a clear a picture of that is back to Romans 17:08 in your pew Bible. 17:08, starting in verse 20, chapter 1 in Romans. Chapter 1 in Romans, starting in verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to all the impurities and other things. You see, I like to do the creation moment, because in creation, God is seen so clearly. But the world rejects it. You know, so are we defeated because we can't make the world better? Does it mean that Christians might as well give up and forget what they're doing? No, absolutely not. We're not defeated. You know, the crucifixion could have been looked at as a defeat, couldn't it? When Christ went to the cross, then Satan was rubbing his hands together, I got him now! He's nailed to the cross. He's going to the grave. Ha! On you, disciple. Ha! On Christianity and those who believe in Christ. But you know, he rose from the grave. And instead of being a defeat, it became a great victory. You see, in the same way, yes, we're not trying to make, we cannot make the world better, but you know what we can do? Is we can preach the gospel. We can share the gospel with other people so that the kingdom of God grows. We preach the good news. And that's what we're called to do. In chapter 5 of Matthew 14:93. I'm kind of moving fast, but Matthew 5 and verse 14. In 14:93, it tells us, and this is again Jesus talking, teaching us, and it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You see what they're saying here? You know, and I don't know if you've traveled cross country. I have, and it's just amazing. Because as you're driving, you'll see a city on a hill, and it's all lit up. If you've flown in an airplane during the night, you look down and you see all the little cities lit up, and the lights just shine. And that's miles away, you see those lights. God is telling us to let our light shine. We may not be able to change the world, but we're not defeated. We are in no way to walk around with our heads hung low, because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the Savior who would save mankind to eternal life. If that's not something to get excited about and praise God about, my goodness. Mark 16:15, it tells us that we're supposed to bring the message to all the world. And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 28, since you're already in Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. And this is what we all call the Great Commission. When Jesus gives his final words before he takes off into heaven, you know, after his resurrection, mind you, he stands before the disciples with the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet and the hole in his side. And he says to them in chapter 28, starting in verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We're not here to make the world better. We're not here to change the world. We're here to share the gospel so God can change people. We're doing what He calls us to do. Now, it's whatever we're doing at the time. If we're involved in politics, then we're preaching the gospel while we're doing the politics. I found out down in Nashville, they're making the Bible the state book. You believe that? Against all opposition, they proposed a bill to make the Bible their state book. And all these other politicians are saying, "You can't do that." Guess who the politician is that's proposing the bill? He was a pastor. Now he's a senator. This doesn't mean we can't be involved in things. This doesn't mean we can't try and push the Lord forward. But you know what? He may be defeated. In fact, knowing the world the way it is, he probably will be defeated. But that doesn't stop him from bringing the gospel forward. That doesn't stop him from being the light of the world. So whatever you're involved in, politics, law, if you work at Schaefer's Market, if you work at the hotel cafe, if you work over at Palabichi's, if you're in a factory, if you're cleaning or cooking for whoever else you might be cooking or cleaning for, no matter what you're doing, if you're logging out in the woods, you're a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. You're a witness no matter where you go. You're a light unto Him. We may not change the world to get better because the world is going that way. Prophecy tells us that. But we are going to be a light to the world. We're going to change one person at a time. Isn't that the story of the starfish? One person at a time, we're going to change because we're going to bring the power of the gospel to people. And that's what's in us. That's what's been given to us as Christians. Don't get discouraged when the world is going south. Don't get discouraged when you see ISIS and news about this plane going down or that plane going down or people killing Christians all over the world. That's going to happen. It doesn't mean we can't try and stop those things, but you know what? They're going to happen. Praise God, they're Christians. We're here to continue to our last breath to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to our last breath. And when that last breath comes, we inherit a new heaven, a new earth. Someday we'll be in heaven. And then at the final end, when it's enough is enough, when God says, all right, it's over, then He's going to destroy everything by fire and create a new heaven and new earth. That's the message of the gospel. We're going to have the best of the best. But that's because we believe in Jesus as our Savior. And I pray that all of us have chosen Jesus. If you're fighting Him, if you're saying, oh, you know, I don't know, that's for weak people or that's for... No, it's not. I'll tell you what. I've seen these weightlifters, big old weightlifters, you know, and they're out there lifting these huge weights, you know, 500 pounds or whatever else. But when they lift a weight up over their head and they break a knee or they bust an arm somehow because they're lifting so much weight and it puts so much pressure on the bones in their body and they pop something, they go down. And when they go down, there's that little guy with the case that runs out on the floor and starts taking care of him. This guy probably can't lift 100 pounds. But he runs out there because he's going to take care of him. He's going to bandage him up. And he bandages him up because he's the guy, he's the trainer. He's the doctor. And he takes care of him. That big old bulking weightlifter needs that guy. And I'll tell you what, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how big you are, how great you are, how powerful you are, how much money you got in the bank. If you need a Savior, Jesus Christ is Him. And if you don't take Him as your Savior, you're walking around with a busted arm, with a messed up knee. You're walking around with a failed spiritual situation. And you're hurting and you don't even know it. You need Jesus Christ in your life. So that's what I propose to you. Stop fighting. Stop walking around with a broken spiritual condition. Let Jesus Christ heal it. Let Him bandage up. He has all the tools and all the equipment that He needs to do it. And so I'd like us just to take a moment and pray. And if that's your condition, if you've been fighting it, then you pray with me. And some of you older Christians, you pray along with me too, because we all need it. Father, we thank You so much for this message. I thank You that you've just indicated to us that we got to think about the priorities. The priority is You. The priority is salvation. The priority is sharing it with others. Lord, I pray that we stop focusing on the world and the condition of the world. It doesn't mean that we don't get involved. It doesn't mean that we don't try and help. But that's not our priority. Priority is people. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that hasn't accepted You as Savior, maybe they've been struggling for years, maybe just months. Lord, I pray that You would just give them that one nudge. Let them know that it's not a failure. It's a victory. It's a success to believe in Jesus as their Savior. I pray that You would just come to them in a way that they would just pray, Lord, come into my life. Lord, heal my sinful condition. Make me Your child so that I could inherit the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that You would just meet them where they are. Lord, that Your Spirit would fill them even now and just help them to see that they don't have to struggle anymore. They don't have to fight. They can just rest in You. And Lord, for us older Christians, we get a little complacent, a little lazy sometimes. Lord, help us to realize we are the light of the world. This world may not change from its path to destruction, but we can change people. We can bring them to Christ. He can make them new creatures. Lord, make it an exciting thing for us that we would share your gospel with others. Lord, give us opportunity. It's not that we have to set up a soapbox and preach it on the corner, but Lord, wherever we go, that we're a light to those people around us. Lord, I pray and thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that you have built in us that spiritual condition of strength and power. We pray that as we close this time, that you just continue to bless us as we go our way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.